be seated. I love the, praise God, am I sounding okay? Sound okay? Am I sounding like I'm in a cave?
There's a little bit of an echo.
A little bit of an echo. Yeah. Echo. How you doing? I want to thank Lisa, who gets out there and changes that marquee, and Brent sometimes will change that marquee. And I love the marquee that the last one that we've done. I love all of them that we change them to. But I like the last one. It says, if you've seen it, New Year, I believe. It says New Year, New Beginning. New Year, New Beginning, same God. New Year, New Beginning, it's the same God. Is we always go through newness, but yet it's the same God. He sometimes will change his methods, but his principles never change. He is unchangeable, and he is always the same, but sometimes he does some things that are different in the methods by which he does. Life changes, things change, and we just thank the Lord that he loves us and cares about us. And we trust him, even through the changes of life. Keep our people in prayer, though. Sometimes the change is not always easy. We go through changes in the church, we go through changes in life, and sometimes it's not easy. But God is still the same. He still loves us, he still cares about us, he still wants us to grow, and he still wants us to know that we're his children. And that doesn't ever change. He will never walk away from us. You might walk away from him, but he'll never walk away from you. Or you might try to walk away from him. He has a way of lassoing people and bringing them back to himself when they try to walk away. He loves us, and he cares about us. Today I want to talk a little bit about a little bit different subject. If you would, go with me to the book of Galatians, and we're going to go to chapter 6 in Galatians. Galatians in chapter 6, and we're going to share a principle of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus talked about this often. Brent, I'm not going to do a sports analogy today, but we are going back to the farm, okay? We're going back to the farm, and we're going to do a farm analogy. The society that they lived in those days was a society of harvest time and reaping time, of sowing time and reaping time, and they relied on it quite a bit, and most people were in the farming industry, even though there were others that did other things, but most of them were in this society that depended on harvest time, and it depended on reaping time, it depended on sowing time and throwing the seeds out. And there was a major principle that Jesus had preached. You know, he talked many times about the sower going out and sowing the seed, and there was a time of sowing and a time of harvest. And in Galatians, he talks about it as well. And in chapter 6, we're going to go to verse 6. He says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." He uses this farm analogy. If you're going to go out and you're going to sow some seed, you're going to sow some things in your life, you're going to reap a harvest of that which you have sown. This last Christmas, to the probably not happiness of my oldest daughter, she came, and for the first time, her boyfriend came in to church on Christmas Eve, and that was the first time he had ever come into a church service. And it was kind of cool that they were there. But I began to talk a little bit about the Hayden family home back in the past, and I'm going to share just a real brief bit about it. Us Haydens, we are very passionate people, okay? Us Haydens, the ones that I know, are very passionate. We get really excited about things, even so to the very positive of what's going on, but also it can become a very negative thing as well. And my daughters, we talk about this often, that we had to take our daughters. They were, Heidi, help me. Were they in the same room and then we had to separate them? They were in the same room and we had to separate them into different rooms because they were like roaring tigers. They were like a lion and putting a lion and a tiger in the same cage. And it was, you know, you got this, you got that, that's mine. You know, Lauren was accused of destroying my daughter, my oldest daughter Lindsay's clothes. And of course, Lindsay was always trying to use Lauren as slave labor in her in the room, you know, trying to make her succumb into doing the things that she wanted. And it was this back and forth deal where their tempers many times got the best of them. Does anybody relate to that kind of stuff, okay, with the kids? And it even got so bad, I think we had to take them from separate rooms to one room at one side of the house and one room at the other, and we put the boys in the middle, okay, to sort of be the buffer zone. They were the no man's zone, you know, where it would keep a little bit of a buffer between them. And I had mentioned a little bit about this at the Christmas Eve service to go over a point that we had covered during the Christmas time. And I saw my daughter throw up her arms like that when she's out in Austin, and I quickly began to bring it around to the fact that it wasn't necessarily as much as their problem as it was my problem, okay? Because, you know, when we see our kids act in a certain way, sometimes, and it's not that they don't have blame. There's sometimes that they, the way they act, sometimes they're at fault. No, don't doubt about that. But there's sometimes the reason that they act the way they do is because we have sown that kind of action into their life. You know, one of the reasons that they acted like that is because they saw Daddy Hayden was kind of passionate about things, and I could get really wound up about some things. I know that none of you believe this, but sometimes I have a temper, okay? And I can get really wound up about something when I see something wrong. And you know what? My daughters really latched on to this idea of fighting for your rights, okay? And so, you know, I mentioned that at the service, the Christmas Eve service, and I quickly brought it around to one of the reasons that we see what I saw in them is because they saw it in me. And I sowed many times the seed of those arguments between the girls. I sowed that into them. And then when I saw them going at it, then I would do the thing that a father ought to always do, is get in the middle of it and try to solve the problem, right? And so it was like taking a bag of seed and just throwing it all over the place, you know. It was such, you know, and I tell you, it was like World War III sometimes. I think my wife, you know, tried to get out of the house to run away from the enveloping storm that would take place. We sow many times what we see that comes in our lives. Many times we see come up and we harvest what we've sown. And that can be either good or it can be bad. And he talks about that in the Bible. He says, you know, God isn't mocked. He isn't, you're not going to fool him. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow faithlessness, you will reap faithlessness. If you sow selfishness, you will reap selfishness. If you sow hate, you're going to reap hate. I think we know that in our world when we see it. When you sow hate, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap the whirlwind. And we sow it all the time. We sow negative things. But the same principle is if we want to see things good in our life. If we want to see good things in our life, we can begin to sow good things. You know, that's the principle of giving and receiving. When we talk about tithing, and today is not a tithing sermon. I will have one this year. where I talk about tithing and giving and the importance of believers in tithing and giving. That's one of the main principles, that when you give, if you give and if you tithe, like the Bible tells us to, that you will receive a reward for that, that you will be given. If you give, it will be given to you. And we're going to go to that scripture in just a moment. But if you give, if you don't give anything, if you're selfish and you hang on to everything and you don't ever give anything away, then don't expect anything to come back. The Bible says if you sow, it's like casting your bread upon the water. You throw your bread on the water, and on every wave it begins to come back. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. If you want people to love you, then love them. You want people to be kind to you, then be kind to them. You want God to bless you, bless Him. Now, that doesn't mean God won't bless you just because you're selfish. But He says, you know what, you want me to come and you want me to do this, and yet you kicked me out of your schools. You want me to take care of your nation, yet you won't let me in the public square. You want me to love you and to bless you, yet you persecute my people. See, God's not going to be mocked. He's no doormat. He's no door hop. He is God. And make no mistake about it, He knows what's going on, and He sees everything, and He is not duped by anything. What a person sows, that's what they're going to reap. What a nation sows, that's what they're going to reap. That's why He says, walk righteously before me. Follow me and love me, and you will reap. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a person sows, that is what he will also reap. Why did I have problems sometimes with my children in arguments where they were uncontrolled? Because I sowed that into them. I sowed it, and I saw it grow. And I reaped the harvest of it. And now I'm starting to learn at my age that if I sow love, guess what I get back? When I sow love to my daughters, guess what I get back? Love. Now, I'm still feeling the effects sometimes of those olden days when I sold something else. I still feel that sometimes because, you know, once you've developed a person into the person they're going to be, it's hard to change them. They can be changed, but it takes a lot of weeding and a lot of re-sowing and replanting to change all that. And now I begin to see that. See, there was a time when my kids were like, now I see them because we've learned that we've got to sow something different into their life, and we're not perfect at it yet, but we sow something different into our kids' life, and now that we see the big change, and now it's completely different. They love each other very much. They've come to love that because they know mom and dad are doing what we can to love them. And so we've sowed, and now we begin to reap. And that's the principle that God has throughout the Word of God. He goes on, he says in that seventh verse, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. In verse 8, he says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Anyone say corruption? If you're going to sow to your flesh, that's what you're going to reap. That's one of the things that many times that I counsel people on. In either marriage counseling, you know, if you're going to sow to yourself and in your flesh, then you're going to reap that back. You're going to be selfish and sow to what you want, and you don't care about the other person, then you're going to reap what you've sown. You want them to love you, then you love them. You want them to help you, then you help them. You want them to do for you, then you do for them. And that goes the same in every principle. God continues, and He says, for he who sows to the flesh of the flesh reaps corruption, but he who sows, listen to this, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And I'm sitting here telling you about physical things. This applies not only to physical things, it applies to spiritual things. It applies to all things. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. Even when you reap so good things, that doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulty. There's going to be times when you're going to have to weed out the garden. See, I could be a farmer if all I had to do was plant the seeds. A friend of mine bought me a little statuette. It's made of some kind of, I don't know what it is, but it feels like bronze, but it's not. But it's a beautiful statuette. I've got it in my office. I've had it for a long time. A friend of mine got it for me. And it's a statuette of Johnny Appleseed, basically. And what did Johnny Appleseed do? He went out and just threw the seeds out. And of course, everywhere he went, apples would come. It's really not Johnny Appleseed. It's a statue of the sower. And he goes out and sows. If all I had to do is throw out the seeds, that would be great. But sometimes you got to weed them. Sometimes you got to get rid of the old bad seed. And sometimes that's what's difficult in our life, is getting rid of the old bad and bringing in the new. But let me just encourage you for a minute. You begin to make it intentional, where you intentionally begin to sow good seeds in the people's life. And God said it'll come back to you. It'll come back to you. If you sow to your flesh, though, and he brings it around to a spiritual lesson, if you sow to your flesh, if all you do is think of yourself and all you do is sow to what you want, what your flesh wants, it will become corrupt. That's what happens when someone begins to sow to things that are not good for you, and that becomes the most important thing in your life. It ends up corrupting you. And you start caring about things more than you care about God. He says, but if you'll take the seed and you'll begin to sow to the Spirit. In other words, and let me just ask you, if you'll begin to sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. You're going to reap His Spirit in you. Well, how do I do that? I mean, that's the good question. Let's keep reading. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And he says, and let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. He says, you know what? There's principles in this sowing and reaping thing. First of all, you've got to learn to plant the seeds. And you've got to stop throwing out bad seed, because a lot of times we mix the seed. We'll put good and bad, and we'll throw them out together, and we'll have weeds in our garden, and it takes time to weed those things out. So one of the things that we've got to do is begin to sow the seed, is to plant good things. And that's true of the Word of God as well as the things that we do. You want to plant good seeds in your heart? Begin to take the Word of God, take it off of the page, and put it into your heart. Because it doesn't do any good if you let it sit in a book. Our family had a family Bible in our living room for I don't know how many years. And wasn't one of us wanted to go to church. Wasn't one of us wanted to have anything to do with God. But we had that big Bible in there because we wanted to make sure that if anything happened, God looked out after us. And it was a big one of those, you know, I could have put it up. If I'd have put it up to my chest, you could have shot me with a machine gun into the book, and it probably would not have hit me. It would have been stopped in the book. It was so thick. It was so big. So we were really holy people, because our Bible was as big as almost anybody in the neighborhood. We had that Bible. That's not sowing and reaping. To really sow, you've got to get in and release the seed into the ground. It's like we have these bags of seed that God has given to us, and we just keep them in the barn, and we don't ever go out and plant them. You want God to work in your life, you better start planting some seeds. And that begins with the Word of God. The Word of God begins to go into the heart, begins to change the person, and then they begin to act differently, and then the seed of their actions begins to go, and it goes everywhere. And believe me, people will recognize your seed when you throw it out. They'll recognize it. Because when it comes to fruition and becomes fruit in your life, it's easily recognized. And that's what Jesus said. He says, how are you going to know if somebody's really a believer? You will know them by the fruit that they produce. What's the fruit that comes forth in their life? He goes on in another place. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So the first thing is you need to be planting. You need to be planting. Plant the Word of God into your heart. Plant the good works of God into your life, into your family, into your community. Begin to plant seeds of righteousness through the Word of God and through the actions that come through the Word of God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we get another little tidbit of what we need to do that has to do with this planting and receiving. And he says this in verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. Says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us be purpose in our heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." If you sow sparingly, you're going to if all you give is a little, that's all you're going to get. If all you give is a smile every once in a while, that's all you're going to get. If all you do is just try to get by on just enough to get by, God will bless you with just enough to get by. But if you sow bountifully, you sow love bountifully, you sow joy bountifully, you sow finances bountifully, that's for another sermon. You sow the Word bountifully, that's what you're going to get back, bountifully. And I don't know about you, but if I'm sure that the harvest would be different. Where's Adam at? Adam, how many acres do you plant? Huh? 800 acres? 800 acres? Don't you help him plant that sometimes? You guys, well, it's you and your father plant 800. Did you say 800? Man, that's a lot. That's a farm, isn't it? That's not, you know, I thought you had like, you know, like 2 or 3 acres, you know, you did. But 800 acres? I've planted gardens before, okay, and I'm, you know, and I could probably walk it off right behind this pulpit about how big my garden was. If you have an 800, if you take the Word of God and you put the Word of God into your heart and you begin to take the Word of God everywhere in the way that you love people, the way that you talk with people, the way that you're kind to people, and you let the Word of God change and have peace with others and begin to gather them into the harvest and to spread the Word of God and get people saved, you begin to spread an 800-acre farm, you're going to get 800 acres worth of product to come back. And see, this is where we feel like, well, I've done enough. This is all I need. Well, that's good. If that's all you need, if all you need is a 10 by 12 little plot of ground and all you do is plant just a few tomatoes, you're going to get enough to last you a couple weeks. Because that's how much I would get. I'd get enough to last me a couple weeks, you know. And if it was longer than that, then they would rot on the vine. And you're not going to get a whole lot. But if you plant 800 acres worth of God's love to other people, you're going to get that much back. If you sow sparingly, you're just going to get a little bit back. If you sow bountifully, you're going to have a farm. And it's not only going to take care of you. It's going to take care of your family. It's going to take care of your friends. And it's going to take care of your loved ones. It's going to take care of your church. And that principle can be translated in every area of life. If all you do is give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit back. But if you'll be generous towards God, you'll get a lot back. You'll get a farm's worth back. It's important what you sow, and it's important how much you sow it. If all I do is sow a little bit of peace amongst my daughters, I'll get a little bit back. And this is, if you want some family advice, if you want some, if you, we can translate this to the family today if you want to. If you need for family advice, you want love from your spouse, get the seed out and sow a bunch of it. If you want love from your children, get out there, get ready to plant some seed. Start loving them. Start teaching them how to love. Start helping them love. Start showing them how to love others. And you're going to get it back in waves. You'll get a whole bunch back. Because God works on on this principle of sowing and reaping. It's a new year and we have a new beginning, but it's the same God. And He operates in the same principles that He used to operate then. If you give, you're going to get back. If you don't give, you won't get back. There is a song by probably a famous band. You've probably heard of them. They're called the Beatles. You ever heard of the Beatles? This band, and one of their most famous albums, they wrote a line. I don't even know if they really understood what they were talking about, because, you know, they're just songwriters, and they're just wanting everything to sound good. In fact, they had to change the real words to get it to rhyme, so it doesn't really sound the same as in the Bible, but it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't get the principle from the Bible, because this is at it's at the very end of the song, the album Abbey Road. Okay, and it's the song in the end, okay? And what they said was this. This is the quote from whoever wrote this. I don't know if it was John or Paul or who it was, but they wrote this. It says, "The love you take is equal to the love you make." The love you take is equal to the love you make. And it's not quoted right with the Bible, but it's the same principle. It really, you know, because you don't take love and then you give it. You give it first, but it's the same principle. Whatever you give out, that's what you're going to get back, is basically what they're saying. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love, boom, 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 you make. I'll take my Grammy now. Fantastic lyrics and sound, okay? But the principle is even more important because, you know, it's like, listen, no matter what you want in life, let me just tell you something. Whatever you want in life, at the end of life, this is what's going to happen. Has anybody ever played Monopoly? The Monopoly is a great game. It's not great playing it because it takes forever, and then usually you end without a winner because you're not patient enough to wait. But it's a great game because if you do, whether you end with a winner or not is not what's important. What's important is you go through life and you begin to accumulate and you begin to try to manipulate and you begin to try to get the best properties so that you can get more and more money, you can get more and you can gain more and you can accumulate more, and so that eventually you could put all your competitors out of business, put them in a poorhouse, and at the same time making you the most wealthy person on the board. All right? And this is the way you try to win Monopoly. If you want to win it, you've got to be cutthroat, okay? You've got to try to manipulate the best properties. You've got to try to put the best the hotels on there so that when they land on you, you can absolutely take every dime they got, okay? And you try to win. But you know what happens at the end, whether there's a winner or not? You know what? What takes place at the end of Monopoly that just is sort of really what life is like if we're living for ourselves? You want to know what it is? It all goes back in the box. All your properties, all these things you've accumulated, everything that you've got gets back shuffled into the box, and it goes right back into the box. All the money that you've accumulated, everything you've got you might add it up for just a moment, and you add it up to see if you won, but by the time you added it up, you know that you've got to put it right back into the box. And you may go through life and try to live whatever, try to gain whatever you can get the nicest house, get the nicest cars, you know, try to have all the most beautiful things. And there's nothing necessarily evil in that. It's okay. You know, I mean, me and Heidi just renovated one of our bathrooms, and it's beautiful, and we like it. It's not real big, but it's adequate, and it's a nice piece to take a shower in, nice place to take a shower in. So it's nice. But all of that, everything that we accumulate, everything we do, when it's time for us to meet the God, guess what happens to our house? It goes back in the box. And somebody else gets it when they play the game. The love you take is going to equal to the love you make. Whatever happens, you're going to stand before God, and you're not going to have dime one that you earned in this life. But what you've sown is going to make a difference in the reward by which you're going to receive. And I don't care if you're Donald Trump or Warren Buffett or the president of somebody else's country or how much money you think you've got or don't have. When we stand before God, none of us have hotels. None of us have houses. The only thing we have is what Christ provided for us on the cross. And what He's provided for us on the cross is so much better than anything you can gain from Monopoly. So you might as well start giving. You might as well start sowing the seeds of the Word of God. You might as well start praying for other people. It's okay to pray for yourself too. Don't get me wrong. You can pray for yourself. God wants us to pray for ourselves. But you know what? If you're going to be praying for yourself, make sure you're praying for others, because the prayers that you send out on others is like seed that God will multiply and bring back to you. If you pray for other people, guess what? Other people will pray for you. If you love other people, guess what? Other people will love you. If you give to other people when they have need, when you have need, people will give to you. If you love your spouse, he or she will love you back. You say, it doesn't always work like that, Chris. Well, people do have their own free will. I understand that. But make no mistake. If you love other people, God will make a way that even if the person you love doesn't love you back, God will make a way where you will receive love. Because He believes in sowing and in reaping. He says in Luke, He says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People will give into you if you give. In Proverbs, it says, one who sows... Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. We'll read that, and then we're going to close. Promise. You can count on this one. I'm going to close this time. Everybody look at yourself now. I know, look at each other, you know, look at each other saying, yeah, right. I'm going to close right after I read this scripture. Well, maybe not right after I read. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, let's go on down to verse 16. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he is cruel, troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. If you sow, you'll reap. If you sow, you'll reap. If you sow righteousness, you'll reap your reward. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I know that I've failed many times to sow as I have been asked to sow. And I've reaped what should never have been sown. I ask that you forgive me for that, Lord. You help me reap the good from the good seed. Help me to sow good seed. Help me to sow it abundantly. Help me to be patient waiting for the harvest. Because there's always a season of waiting. And Lord, I thank you for that. Help me to sow good words from my mouth. Help me to sow good actions to those around me. Help me to sow good thoughts. Good thoughts that cause seed to be planted in my heart. Help me to sow the Word of God into my heart, so that I might become the man of God you've called me to be. And I pray that for every person in here. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. If you'd like prayer or you need prayer, we're going to ask you to come forward. Then we're going to receive communion.